The other day, I did a Google search for rules to live by. And on the very first page, I found all kinds of websites that shows rules to live by. There were one website that offered 7 rules to live by. Another one had 10, one had 15, some had 20, 25, 40. There's one that had 45 rules to live by, and there's even one that had 50. 50 rules to live by if you want to experience a positive life. Frankly, I didn't click on any of those links. There's just too many rules. If you've ever felt like life has too many rules, you'd understand how the people in Jesus' day must have felt. The people in Jesus' day were burdened and weighed down with all kinds of rules. I mean, you might have grown up with some do's and don'ts in your household, but these people, I mean, they were masters of it. They had tons of do's and don'ts. Ever since these people were young children, they were learning the rules. And it wasn't just petty stuff, you know, like, make sure you eat your dinner before dessert. You know, that's a nice rule. But it was powerful, life-changing, life-depending rules. Rules that were meant to satisfy God. And you did not want to get under the wrath of God. And so they had rules. And more rules. And because of that, it was not uncommon for the people to experience, well, what you and I have, I'm sure, experienced, guilt and frustration and dissatisfaction. And after a while, when so many things get heaped up upon you, you begin to feel like a failure. What's the point? It's all too much. And rather than the people experiencing relationship with God, which was the original intent, the people experienced oppression. Too heavy. And that's the setting in which we find Jesus speaking to the people in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. These were a people whose life depended on trying to satisfy God. They believed that their standing with God depended entirely on how well they kept the rules, and of course, they kept failing. We've all failed at something, many things. We've all missed the mark. Some maybe mundane and some more serious. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 soberly reminds us, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, we're kidding ourselves. Unlike today, though, when it seems like so many people don't care whether they honor God or not, the people in Jesus' day cared a whole lot. It was everything. They wanted God's approval. And the only way to get it that they knew of was to follow the law, to keep the rules. This was life and death. Imagine the weight of that. The weight of that on your mind. That is the setting which we find Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now we read those words, we hear those words, and for us they are words of comfort, as they should be. You've had a rough day, come to Jesus, right? You're dealing with a problem. Well, yes, come to Jesus. Worried about the future, financial woes, maybe an illness, problems in the home, come to Jesus. Good. It's not that those things are not true. They are true. When we have difficulties or stress, worries, heavy, heavy issues, Jesus is there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But if we limit Matthew 11, 28 to 30 to this kind of application, as worthy and meaningful as they are, we are severely limiting the scope of Jesus' invitation. You see, this wasn't about a person having a bad day or a bad month or even a bad year. It was about a person feeling so spiritually defeated and completely unable to satisfy the requirements of the law that they felt like they couldn't go on. It was as though the people were reminded time and time again that they would never make it. Imagine hearing all that, you failed, you failed, you failed, you messed up, you messed. You'll never make it. God will never accept you. And that's all you hear. That's the weight of the guilt that the people were dealing with. And it's in the midst of that kind of spiritual oppression that Jesus comes along and offers a breath of fresh air. Let's read that again. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For us to understand the scope of this invitation, we really need to understand the weight that the people were carrying. You know, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 4, Jesus describes the burden that the teachers of the law put on people. He refers to all the religious rules and regulations, hundreds of them, that had completely distorted God's desire to be in relationship with his people. Even the early Christians, in Acts chapter 15, after the resurrection, after all that happened, we find some of the leaders, the Christian leaders, insisting that the non-Jewish followers of Christ be circumcised. Peter comes along and he says, "Why do you test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we or our fathers have been able to bear?" The yoke was the law. And what Peter is saying is that they themselves could not bear the weight of the law of Moses. Why in the world would you put such a burden on the Gentiles who aren't even under the law of Moses? And it seems that wherever we turn, we find people focused on the weight of the law. And if they don't adhere to it the way we understand it and the way we have written it, interpret it, then they are doomed. And to such a people, Jesus begins with the word, "Come." What a simple invitation. Come. But it implies something. It implies that we get up, we move. It implies that we don't stay where we are. We need to get into motion. It's an action word. And when we are feeling defeated, it's hard to get up, right? It's hard to find that motivation We're thinking, what's the use? And for many who are feeling spiritually defeated, that's exactly where they're at. The devil whispers in their ear, what's the use? There's no point. You might as well give up. And it's for that kind of a person that Jesus says, come to me. It's like Jesus is saying, I know you can't do it on your own, but I can. Come, get into motion, get up. But it's not just aimless, come to me. You see, it's not about how well you stick to the law. It's not about religion. It's not about the church. It's about relationship. Jesus is saying, come to me. You followed the law. That's all that's been important to you ever since you were able to speak. That's all you've learned. Jesus says, come. Come to me. And that takes us to an interesting point. As a church, our goal is to point people to Jesus, right? I mean, that's our objective. It's not about the church itself. It's not about membership. Although, if you read today's bulletin, you'd see I put in a thing about membership, inviting people to membership, which is a good thing. But that's not why we exist. It's not about finances. You know, we do a report in the bulletin every once a month about where we are in our finances. But that's not why we exist. It's not even about the programs, as good as they are and as important as they are. We exist to point people to Jesus, right? That's what it's about. It's about relationship with Christ. That's what we're in. What's what we're here for. And in the end, everything we do needs to be pointing people back to Jesus. Someone once said, while God uses churches, people, and theological systems, not so sure about that one, but anyway, yeah, Christianity is an intimate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus says, in the midst of all the theological jargon and all the rules and all the tradition and all everything else that weighed so heavily on people, he says, come to me. It's so simple. So simple. That's the invitation. Relationship with Jesus. And who's it for? Well, he says, for all who are weary and burdened. It's for all who have become weary and burdened by the oppression caused by legalism. It's for all who have become weary and burdened by the idea that you can only get to heaven if you follow these rules and do it my way. Now, don't get me wrong. God gave the law for a reason. God gave the Ten Commandments. And he gave much more than that, too. But he gave them in order to set the boundaries within which we can build a relationship with him and with the people around us. That's why when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest law? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the sum of the law and the prophets. That's what it boils down. That's why the law was there, to show you how to love the Lord your God and how to love the people around you. And what the religious leaders did is they detailed what that means and how you should live, to the point where relationship was lost and all that was left was the law. Law over relationship. I think they got that backwards. In Luke chapter 11, verse 46, Jesus said, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. You are putting all this stress and burdens and requirements on people, and you're not actually doing anything yourself." It's like they were setting the people up for failure. And he says, woe to you. In contrast to the people who are heavy burdened, he says, come to me. Jesus is saying there's another way. He is saying that if you've ever felt the burden of trying to do everything just right, if you become weary by the constant reminder of your sin, if you've tried and tried again but kept coming up short, Jesus says, come to me. That's what you need. And what will Jesus do? He says it there, I will give you rest. Rest. We like to think that means we can put our feet up on the, put our feet up and relax. Take a Sunday afternoon nap. I will give you rest. But look at what Jesus says next. Right after he says, I will give you rest, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is important because while we like the idea of rest, we like the idea of laying down our burdens, we like the idea of getting away from the overbearing requirements of the law, Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't say you could do whatever you like. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The yoke was not a very pleasant instrument. Okay, it wasn't as bad as the cross, which we're told to take up daily. Interesting thought. But it was a wooden beam that was used between a pair of oxen in order to keep them working together. Think about that. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Oh, and by the way, here's your yoke. I will give you rest, and by the way, now it's time to get to work. Interesting. How do we understand that? How does that make sense? Well, I think it makes sense when we understand that in ancient times, the yoke was used as a symbol of submission. If you were the unfortunate king that was captured in a war by the enemies, it was not unusual for you to be put in a yoke. The yoke represented submission. And what Jesus is saying is, you've got all these burdens, you've got all this weight upon you. It's dragging you down, you can't move forward. He says, come to me, and you will find rest when you submit yourself to me. In a sense, what Jesus is saying is, submit to me, not to the law. Come to me, not to the law. Friends, this is an invitation to relationship. It's an invitation to hope. It's an invitation to new life. And the good news is that it could be life-changing for every one of us. The invitation stands, no matter who you are, no matter what you've come through, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning. And Lord God, we understand how heavy the requirements of this world are upon us. And Lord, I don't imagine to understand the weight of the burdens that people are carrying. I'm sure for many there are those heavy weights of life, financial issues, family issues, work issues, health issues. And Lord, we know that you are there with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. But Father God, I pray especially this morning for any who are feeling the weight of the burden of sin upon their life, Lord. If there's some area in their life, Lord God, that hasn't really been given over to you, and there's a struggle, Lord God, help us to understand that it's not the law that you're looking for, it's relationship. And Lord, I pray that whatever it is in our lives that is keeping us from that relationship going forward with you, Lord, that we would submit to you in that, Lord God, that we would take your yoke upon us. And Lord, that we would find that you are gentle and kind with us, Lord God. You are filled with grace. And Father God, so long as we have breath, we can come to you and ask you, Lord, to lift the burdens of this world, of this sin that we so often are weighed down by. Lord, I pray this morning that you do this work among us. We come to you as your invitation stands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.